a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
It's May, and generally, May 7th, we're not resorting to hack sports talk radio segments to pass the time. However, given the bandwagon nature of this sports town, don't deny it. The Houston Astros are kind of forcing us down this road, and I get it. They're in the midst of a game right now. They're playing against the Milwaukee Brewers, and they have a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the fourth inning. Looks like Framber Valdez, at least to this point, is having a pretty good outing. And, yeah, Yordan Alvarez has a strained muscle in his right hand that'll require some rest. He should be back pretty soon. It's going to be like the Astros acquiring someone at the trade deadline. But there have been some rather depressing numbers. I saw Brian McTaggart was posting his daily tidbits, MLB.com. Jake Myers is 9-for-17 on the road trip. That's pretty sick. Yiner Diaz is 8-for-20. But Jose Altuve is 3-for-21 in May. Jeremy Peña, 5-for-21 in May. Christian Walker is 5-for-21. Isaac Paredes, 4-for-15. Brendan Rodgers, 4-for-14. Rodgers did, for what it's worth, have a homer last night. So that's fun. C-level Brendan Rodgers. Let's go. Long season. A lot of season left. But right now, yeah, they're not exactly the most entertaining thing to talk about. So I thought, given that something huge is happening in the world, especially if you are raised Catholic like myself, but the Cardinals of the world have descended upon the Sistine Chapel and the doors have closed. These Cardinals are now sequestered, no idea how to say that, from the outside world. No cell phones. Airwaves around the Vatican are jammed. 133 Cardinals are about to begin the secretive, centuries-old ritual of electing a new pope to lead the Catholic Church, a 2,000-year-old entity. Perhaps we need to do a version of this for the Houston sports world. Who's a cardinal in the Houston sports world? I mean, we could be talking sports worlds of the past, sports world of the present. I also feel like, Sean, can we set a Gregorian theme in the background? Pay no attention to the song that you recognize this from. This is just the most Gregorian thing we could find, okay? Just remember what it is. So who's allowed in? Obviously, Jose Altuve, even with his recent struggles. Obviously, Hakeem Olajuwon. Obviously, Earl Campbell. Obviously, Nolan Ryan.
Yep. What? Andre Johnson.
Craig Biggio, Jeff Bagwell. Mm-hmm. There's some other Astros who are debatable.
Yeah, let's.
These are the guys who are definitely in.
No doubt about it.
These are the Cardinals who are making our decision. As far as current athletes, I don't think anyone's quite in outside of Altuve. Not anymore. I think that's Robert? It. I think Amon Thompson trending in the right direction.
Yeah, young prospect watch.
He's probably number one. CJ Stroud, Will Anderson.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Will Anderson.
Nico Collins on the right track?
Yeah.
Okay. So these are our Cardinals. Who amongst these Cardinals? Rudy Tomjanovich, will put him in there too.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put him in there. I don't know about Jeff Luno. AJ Hinch,
I think Jeff Luno got reassigned.
Yeah, he did. Papa? Dusty Baker?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Bum Phillips?
Put him in there.
Yeah, we'll put him in. Some of them... there's a seat.
There's a
for
lot
them.
Of Cardinals, guys.
There, a lot of Cardinals. 133.
A lot of Cardinals in the Catholic Church.
So who of these sports figures, present and past, should be the Pope of Houston sports? Who's number one? I mean, could be Hakeem Olajuwon, but there's a problem.
What? What's that, Paul? What's the problem? I see no problem.
I'm not sure he's a Catholic. Just a wild guess. I'm not sure he's a Catholic. Does the Pope of Houston sports need to be a Catholic? If not, then he's the guy. If it's not, I don't think that Altuve has the strongest case against him, especially since he's not playing particularly well recently.
Yeah, that's the issue when you're current.
Recency bias.
Is that, yeah, we're watching a game right now.
Hakeem Olajuwon looks a lot better right now after the Rockets' struggles in this series against the Golden State Warriors, too.
Yeah. I remember, well, I actually don't remember because it was before my time. But I remember when they had a center who could play on the low block. He would have gone right over Draymond Green. and with the Cougs. It's been a big couple.
Yeah,
couple
I forgot
months,
about the Cougs dynamic.
Big couple months with Hakeem Olajuwon. Hakeem.
We're getting some other nominees. Who are the other Cardinals that make it in? We got a couple of Astros suggestions. Roy Oswalt and Billy Wagner.
Ooh, I think they're both in.
Also, Case Keenum's in it.
Oh, yeah.
Case Keenum has to
Lifetime.
Be in it.
Yeah.
I guess Andre Ware, because he won a Heisman as well. Yep. He's got to be in it, because he's still a part of our lives. He's the color commentator for the Houston Texans.
Drexler.
Clyde Drexler.
Because of his work on... Root Sports.
Guy V. Lewis, definitely.
Yep.
Kelvin Sampson,
yep.
Also definitely. And that's a bad job by us forgetting about Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah, we're too pro-centric.
We were a little pro-centric there. Brian Ching, Houston Dynamo, Cardinal.
Yes.
Yeah, there's lots of Cardinals, guys.
There's so many Cardinals.
Lots of Cardinals. J.J. Watt's wife, Kealia Ohai.
She is a woman.
We don't... Simone Biles, duh.
Eh.
Oh, come on! Just because you got the twisty, Sean? Jeez.
No. It's because I'm a traditionalist when it comes to the conclave. I don't know.
Someone texted in Pope Simone. Yeah, like,
that'd be a twist. That'd be, you know what? That'd be a first. Hakeem Olajuwon would be a first for being the first Muslim pope.
Yeah, he's the first Muslim pope.
Simone Biles would be the first,
the smallest pope, I think,
probably, and the first woman pope.
That's true.
That should break. Couple more records. First Pope with the Olympic gold medal also, I assume.
John and Lance, they are Texas Radio Hall of Famers.
I think Granato, because he actually observes
he's
Lent.
He's the... Really observes it, too. He deserves credit for that.
Yeah, I'll put him in there. Lance. Yeah, I'm
Cheryl Swoops and Cynthia Cooper, another texter. That's fair. Yeah, people are pointing out this list is sexist. Well, I mean, so is the Catholic Church.
Yeah! That's my whole point.
Yeah.
Look up the names of the actual conclave. You're not going to see a lot of Cheryls, right? Not a lot of Simones. Actually, maybe, because I think Italian, that could go either way.
Carl Lewis from the Twitch. Cardinal Blakey. He also says Joe Blakey. Ooh, Mattress Mac and John McClain. I think they're Cardinals as part of this conclave to determine the Pope of Houston sports. We might have to listen to this and come back when the Pope is actually announced and do like a bracket. Who's the Pope of Houston sports?
God.
Deshaun Watson is Pope-like. Sir, that's inaccurate. That is very inaccurate. That is very, very inaccurate.
He's also getting reassigned.
He has been very reassigned. He has been excommunicated. That's what he's been. Ludo was excommunicated, too. I'm not even saying reassigned. Excommunicado. Others. George Foreman. That's one we missed.
That's a good one.
Yeah, George Foreman. R.I.P.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of...
Tony Busby. Tony Busby is involved in a lot of Houston sports.
Yeah. And scandals. On the flip side, Rusty Harden.
Rusty Harden. That's true. The yin to the yang.
Yeah. I mean, did we say Roger Clemens?
We did not. Oh, my God. Terrible job by us.
Clemens, because he's from Houston.
And Texas. And, you know, arguably the greatest pitcher of all time.
Yeah.
Should be Hall of
Fame.
Andy Pett's not making the cut.
He's from Houston. He's not from the Houston area.
But not excommunicated, but he's not making the cut.
Doesn't. Bishop. He's one notch lower.
Lance Berkman, yes. Billy Wagner, yes.
Yeah.
So there you go. Keep them coming.
DJ Swearinger, yes.
I want DJ Swearinger in
Jonathan
there.
Joseph, actually, yes.
One of the conclave ceremonies, because we don't know about it. It's very secretive.
It is.
You have to
watch the movie to find out what they do.
How long, and even that, they probably don't even know 100%. One of the rituals should be, how long can you keep your hand in a pit bull's mouth? And DJ Swearinger's the one who brings it
no,
in.
No, that's from Dune. All right, that's more of a well, pain box from Dune.
That seems a lot.
Gotta get it from somewhere. Yeah, gotta get it from somewhere. Did you see the story that some of the newer cardinals actually don't know how the conclave work, and so they watch the movie?
No way.
That's at least the story.
That's pretty funny. I want to believe that. I don't know that they do. Brian Cushing. Oh, that's a defensive rookie of the year once again. There's a lot of cardinals.
There's so many cardinals. How many cardinals?
Jonathan Joseph gets in, I think. 133 is the number.
That's actually not that many.
But we're getting there.
And there's 252 worldwide.
Ooh, Wayne Graham, Rice Baseball. That's a good one. So there you go. Clay Walker's football time in Houston song. Yeah, Clay Walker. Clay Walker is a part of the Houston sports scene. Don't laugh. Don't laugh, you dick. he's a part of the Houston sports scene.
I think he's part of the Viter.
The Viter doesn't count. Anyway, this is the Astros' fault. This segment was the Astros' fault.
So Pope, Olajuwon?
Yeah, it's Olajuwon. But
just because... Can we put that on a graphic?
We got to figure out the first Muslim
pope. I'm sure people
would
love that.
Of Houston sports.
Congratulations. Hakeem Olajuwon.
It's the Paul Gallant Show, 713-780-3776 to call it, to text it. And yes, this is a Gregorian chant of Halo, sung by real human beings that we put on loop. Up next, what's the best item that's on your person every day that you could turn into a weapon? Because I doubt it beats what this guy used it for. Paul Gallant Show, stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We were trying to form a conclave of Houston sports figures. Who would be the Cardinals of the conclave? Still getting some good nominees. From a sports casting side, Milo Hamilton. Yeah, RIP. That's a good one. There's an account online that's Milo Hamilton's microphone that's been rather vicious against the Astros of late.
Yeah, that's a good one. Jim Nantz.
Oh, jeez. How did we forget Nantz?
Yeah.
That's a terrible job by us. Bill Worrell.
Yeah.
He gets in. Warren Moon. No, he's been excommunicated.
Yeah.
Warren Moon's been excommunicated, not because of the Nashville side of things, but because of some other things with his assistant.
Okay.
Also, he's been lying to the people of Nashville, which you'll hear in about 15 minutes or so. Vernon Maxwell, I don't think you can put a Pope in who's been, or a Cardinal in, who's told an entire city to go to hell. Which Vernon Maxwell did in 1994 after game one of the Rockets series that they came back from down 0-2, and there's the Choke City headlines to beat the Phoenix Suns. He did tell everyone to go to hell. That's not very cardinally or popey.
But isn't there a bad boy cardinal? Don't they normally have one that's like, this guy?
He doesn't play by
the rules. Yeah, he's the cardinal who doesn't play by the rules.
the young pope. Like the Jude Law television show on HBO.
Yeah, I never watched that. I should watch.
I don't remember any of it, which I don't know if it was because
I'm a big
don't
Pope
remember.
Move.
Pope dude, move. There's a lot of I guess I'm gonna have to watch this conclave.
The two popes.
Movie.
Come on.
Yeah, the two popes. That's true.
Good movie, not great.
King of Twitch says, and so does allegedly Per Se 69 on the Twitch. Gilbert, Pope Gilbert. Okay, I guess. I don't know.
As far as radio callers?
All right, anyway.
Who cares anyway?
No one said anyway more than Gilbert. No one. No one has said that word more than him. Anyway. So, a video's gone viral of a Pittsburgh Pirates stadium employee. God, that's got to be a tough job. The park's probably half empty. And the last time we were talking about PNC Park, a fan literally jumped out of the stands and fell 21 feet to what we thought was his death. Apparently, he's awake. That's nice. He was hammered. It wasn't an act of protest. The act of protest would have been understood. But a Pittsburgh Pirate stadium employee, in a video that has gone viral, stands his ground on a way that I am impressed. If you're making, what, let's say $20 an hour doing security at a Pirates game, maybe a little bit more. I don't know what the standard rate is on an hourly basis for a security guard, let alone a Pittsburgh Pirate security guard, who I am not imagining are throwing out the big bucks for their security guards. But in a video posted by Barry Pintar from KDKA, there's a guy who is wearing a t-shirt, has a beard. He confronts a Pirates Stadium employee about something. He gets in his face. This Pirates Stadium employee, by the way, has a good 3 inches on him. And this guy with the beard, I mean, is asking for it. I don't know what he eventually says, but the employee, who I'm sure was telling him to leave, eventually starts swinging, gets a few punches in. The guy who had started this entire thing, like a bitch, walks away. He cowers as he walks away, only to take off his jacket and his hat so that he can return to the fight. There's more shoving. Eventually, the stadium employee has this genius idea, because he's trying to get this guy out of the stadium. He removes his belt and starts whipping him like he's an Egyptian riding a chariot back in the BC days. This is straight Ben-Hur stuff. Just pulls out the whip, flop, 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 lashing up a storm. I got to say, I don't know what's going to happen for this guy's career going forward, but I'm impressed by the on-the-fly ingenuity. Because do you want to get in a fist fight with somebody? No. Even if you're taller than the person, there is a chance that things can go poorly. But if you use your belt as a whip, and I'm not endorsing this, people out there, I'm just saying, if you use your belt as a whip, you might be able to actually adequately defend yourself. So I'm wondering, are there any other day-to-day items that you have on your person every single day that are on this level? Guns don't count. Knives don't count. I mean, just a standard routine item.
A non-weapon that can be used as a weapon.
Exactly, Sean. Because I don't think anyone can top a belt. A shoe?
No, I mean, like,
steel-toed boots are really the only thing I could think of, but you'd have to take your shoe off. That would take time to do, and you'd be using it as a hammer. I don't think it would be particularly wieldy as it's stuck down your arm, you know?
Yeah, and the beauty of the belt is that you immediately gain a wingspan advantage with the belt because you're using it as a whip.
So exactly.
It's hard to get, you know, it's hard for your opponent to get close to you as you're using the belt as a whip. I was about to call it a whip. It is a whip.
You can use it as a whip. You could use it as a a strangler.
There's a reason that parents use it for discipline, I will say, because it's on your person. It's easy to.
It is really easy.
It's easy to take off and send a message with.
I don't think there's anything else.
No.
Some are saying a key clip. Yeah, but that's small. Doesn't give you the range. A ring. I don't know about that. A watch. You know, like, what, you're going to throw a watch at somebody?
I mean, depends how big. If you're Shedeur Sanders, how big your watch is.
Ooh, that's true.
I mean, rocks are in it.
If you have a chain, that might be better than a belt because that is metal. you could break the chain and you could turn it into essentially the same thing as a belt, like a metal whip.
I'm imagining nunchucks, but yes, yeah. you could use it as a whip.
I don't know what's going to happen to the security guard, but I respect his work.
I'm going to assume probably his last day at PNC Park.
Some people have said credit card. You can slice an artery with a credit card. Well,
really?
How sharp is this credit card?
Do we have an intern today?
We do not, Sean. We do not.
Let's see.
Let's test it out. We won't use the important ones. No carotid. You know, no necks.
No
wrists. No. We just want to see if you can.
And we'll dial 911 and just wait.
Oh yeah. What if? Let's see. Hang on. Let's see. I'm gonna try to cut my forearm. Hopefully, there's nothing important here. No, it's not working.
Breaking skin?
No, not even. It's like
scratch.
My cat does more damage than this. Yeah, there's some scratches, but yeah. Yeah, not working.
Not artery.
So that's no, I would never do that. No, the blood around neck and wrist.
Least important artery.
Freak me out. Yeah, I mean, it was the back of my forearm. Anyway, as someone who has had cuts and scrapes on him his entire life because I'm a klutz. It's usually my
and
shins.
My
shins have scars all over them, and my parents are always like, "What the hell happened?" It's like, "Oh yeah, I just like stumbled into something while going to the bathroom in the middle of the night." Stuff like that. From the 215, a solid wood cane or a walking stick. Yeah, if you have a walking stick, great.
Yeah,
but not splinter. Everyone has one.
Yeah,
maybe this is a sign that everyone needs to have a cane, or in Ireland as they call it, a shillelagh.
Yeah, but that is good though for. People of a certain age that or certain, I don't know, disability that, yeah, a cane probably beats a belt, but more limited use. I can't be walking around. I can walk around with a belt on. I can't walk around with a cane. People would get mad.
Yeah. And there's a lot of places you will not have the cane allowed in.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, not everywhere will be allowed in. I would imagine some sporting events,
especially as a 29-year-old, I bet they'd be like, "We know you can walk, sir."
Yeah, if you're young, or if it's a pimp cane, like, sorry.
You have to keep it bare bones. Can't be viewed as decoration.
Yeah, you have to embellish a little bit.
Yeah, it has to look necessary, and they'll let you in.
Someone texts in a hair bun pin. Okay.
No, I mean, yes, like in the situation of like you need to like fin someone off, and you just reach back and hit them in the throat with it. But in a standard, you know, combat, I think the belt's still better.
Belt's probably winning
because there's a lot of things that are good close quarters.
Mm-hmm.
If you're already in a tussle that you can reach for, and you know, like again, the pencil thing, where you could just grab a pencil, start hitting them with it. But if you're both standing on your feet, pencil loses a lot of its
for sure
loses its worth.
Some people are bringing up a knife again. No, we're talking about something that isn't. You can't even a Swiss Army knife doesn't count. We're trying to
corkscrew a wine opener.
If you're a real alcoholic, you have that on you all the time. A scrunchie. Key is the best weapon. A key's good, but again, you got to get in close and
you have to Wolverine it.
Yeah, you have to Wolverine your keys. But Wolverine keys,
that's good.
I've done that a couple of times when I've been in a dicey spot. Not that anything happened, but I remember someone was following me, so I Wolverine keyed. So,
good thing you didn't have to use it.
I didn't have to use it.
Good thing for that guy.
No, we're 2-4 lifetime in fights. I don't think it would have gone so well for me. But I've never had a weapon in a fight. So there's that.
Yeah, so asterisk on your record. You've never been armed.
Shoe, who throws a shoe? Well, that one guy did it, George Bush.
Yeah.
Key clip has brass knuckles. Girls carry mace. Yeah, that's a cheat code. Sharpened fingernails, of course. Psycho.
That's a good one, though.
That's
a good one.
It's like someone who's a juggalo might have sharpened nails.
Oh, I was thinking woman, but yes.
That's true.
I mean, we got chastised for not putting women in our Houston sports conclave.
That's true.
Although I stand by the traditions of the Catholic Church. Some traditions.
And again, one, this is the Astros' fault. Two, this is because a Pirates employee used a belt to beat up an unruly fan.
Blame the first 30 minutes of this hour on the
100%. It's all the Framber Valdez is falling apart. What a nothing surprise, apparently. We don't have the game on in studio. From the 281, sanitizer right in the eye. Huh? How about a lighter? Would a lighter work?
For what? I mean, you can't, like...
A butane lighter, potentially. You could
a torch.
Yeah. A butane torch that you use for a cigar, that could work. Mm. That does... If you're a cigar person, that's probably number two, like setting someone on fire.
Oh, the cigar cutter, like you're in the mafia.
That's true, but you have to, like, what
you
are
have
you
to force
cut?
It in there. Yeah.
You have to get a finger in there.
You have to get wrist control.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be tough. And also, once it's cut, I feel like you're kind of exposed.
Yeah, then what?
Bit. What after that?
There's nine more that you have to cut off.
Anyway, guys, someone from 361 says a bowl of beans earlier in the day. Oh, yeah, you could do the projectile diarrhea like that one lady did in the road raging incident that we talked about yesterday.
Yeah. Or like a squid, yeah.
I don't think it comes out like a cloud of ink.
Boom. So and then run away.
So you can escape. Oh, boy. All right, well, keep them coming. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. What is the best item constantly on your person that you could use as a weapon, like the Pittsburgh Pirate security guy? 713-780-3776 to call to text. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Clean up aisle me. Robert's actually doing all right thus far. This is what happens when, due to the stupid streaming rules surrounding the Houston Astros, for whatever reason, we can watch the Astros outside of this specific room, but we can't watch it inside. Astros are up 3-1 in the top of the sixth inning. Framber Valdez is through five innings of work. He has six strikeouts and just one walk. He's allowed three hits, one of them a home run. Meanwhile, for the Houston Astros, Zach DiCenzo is having himself a day. He's got a double. The Astros have left five on base and are 0 for 6 with runners in scoring position. That's a little bit frustrating. Jose Altuve, 0 for 1. Jake Myers, Brendan Rodgers, I give him a pass. Jeremy Pena, 0 for 1. Yiner Diaz, 0 for 2. So just three hits to this point for the Astros. And yet, three runs. I guess they got a little bit of help offensively because a fielder's choice and a passed ball gave them two of the three runs. Good God. I mean, at least they're at three. Can we get to four so that it's not 22 games of three runs or less in the first 36? We're not asking for much. We're really not. It would be nice if in more than a third of their games, they scored more than three runs.
Well, I have good news for you right now. There's
two runners on, no outs, right?
Yeah, there's a guy on second base. So you just need a hit, and he scores. Just get your first hit with runners in scoring position.
But who's batting?
Brendan Rodgers.
Well, that's hey, listen, he had a home run last night.
Yeah, hey, you know.
He's at sea level.
Maybe bunt him over? I don't know.
Yeah, this is definitely a bunt situation. It bunts into a double play. It's a little pop-up or something like that. They didn't bunt much in Colorado, that's for sure. We had some other suggestions as far as weapons that are on your person that you could use, like the Pittsburgh Pirates security guy. Stab them with my insulin pen. Good God, dude. That would work probably, though. A Stanley, if you're a lady. Yeah, those things would hurt if you swung on them.
That's a good one.
Also, Eric the Driver always says using a... he always carries a knife, but he'd use a large and heavy watch like brass knuckles. Okay. The 281 says, my words. I love that one. My words hurt.
All right, William Shakespeare.
Thou art a naughty knave.
Pins mightier than the sword, 281.
For the 409, it's bad enough that we have to listen to Paul's dating life. Now we have to listen to his masochist attempts to cut himself with credit cards. Welcome to the Paul Gallant Show. Welcome to the show. Anyway, 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 9-7-5. We're going to push back the 10-minute drill to the very next segment. And in the 10-minute drill, if this was the move that the Dallas Cowboys had been planning on, that Jerry Jones was hinting at, it is vintage Cowboys, but probably for the exact reasons under Jerry Jones that you would call it vintage Cowboys. You'll hear that on the other side. First, let me tell you about my friends at Rize, RIIZEHealth.com. I wonder if I say the I three times. Is this just someone who constantly overthinks all the time? Don't overthink this. You're having troubles getting to where you need to go, if you will. You know what we're talking about here. You having some issues? Don't be ashamed of it. Honestly, this is a problem that is worth investing in. And now, due to the power of modern medicine, you have the ability to do it on a level that you've never been able to do it before. Because Rize has something that's brand new to the game. It's the Rapid Enhanced Dissolving Strips, the REDS. They combine sildenafil, tadalafil, and oxytocin for superior sexual performance. This works in 5 minutes. It's in discreet packaging, the size of a condom wrapper. You put it underneath your tongue. You're ready to go, and you're going to have yourself a good old time while you use it. RizeHealth.com, R-I-I-Z-E, health.com. You enter promo code 975. You're going to get 20% off your first order. Invest in yourself, your relationship, your love life. This stuff works. RizeHealth.com, promo code 975. And you'll rise up, rise up. You'll rise up with Rize Health today.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. The Dallas Cowboys made a big move today. They traded for Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver and noted crazy person on the football field. That is not an overstatement. George Pickens. The Cowboys, in exchange for George Pickens and a 2027 sixth-round pick, send Pittsburgh a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick. I guess the Cowboys were thinking that they would have taken Ted Arroyo McMillian, who was on the Paul Gallant show, Houston Texans big board. Thank you, Lance Erline, for all your erotic lingo. If he was available at 12, the Cowboys would have taken McMillian, but he went to the Panthers at pick number 8. So they sat around, they waited, and they got George Pickens for a bargain. Pickens will go to the Cowboys without a new deal. It does not seem that there are any incentives for, if Pickens plays well, the Cowboys could get would have to send a second-round pick. So it seems like it's just for a third and a fifth. There's no denying George Pickens' talent. None. But the headlines for George Pickens are some of the funniest things that you will ever see. Do we want to just roll through some of the headlines that this guy has been involved in? Because they're always just goofy things that happen either right after he comes off the field or on the field. Headline, George Pickens has no hope for the Steelers' offense. Headline, Mike Tomlin wanted to keep the starting quarterback decision for the Steelers in-house. George Pickens immediately blurts out it's Russell Wilson. George Pickens casually crashed out at the end of Sunday Night Football when he pulled a Cowboys flare by his face mask. Wow, the Cowboys brought him in? Is there going to be beef? Everyone needs to stop making fun of George Pickens for giving zero effort on blocks. I mean, that's just from Barstool Sports. I'm sure there's a bunch more on Pro Football Talk. We've seen him crash out in the midst of Hail Marys. In a playoff game, no less, right? Wasn't there one in a playoff game? Was it Steelers-Bills? Am I crazy? Perhaps that was a regular season game. I feel like there was a lot of snow.
No, they played a playoff, like a 2-7 wild card game. I forgot if that was the one.
It probably was. This is the thing with Pickens.
There's stuff from Georgia of him throwing a guy by his face mask into the end zone.
Yes.
Like, this guy loves to scrap. He loves to One of the funniest things is on an interception return, how he behaves, because he doesn't – it's not the wide receiver turns into a defensive back. It's the wide receiver turns into a WWE superstar, and he's RKOing guys.
It makes you wonder if he would be good defensively. I think he would. He does have the heart, yeah. The compete level.
I was going to say he'd be a good linebacker. Like, not even a defensive back.
For sure. All that to say, here's Peter Schrager, new member of ESPN, who is certainly not doing anyone any service with this very positive outlook on George Pickens.
And I would like to correct some people. Some people think that he is a diva or he's cantankerous. I talked to the Steelers folks. George Pickens is demonstrative on the field, but he is not an uncoachable player. In fact, he does have a great way about him in the locker room and is very well liked in Pittsburgh. For the Dallas side of this, they sat on an all draft. Everyone wondering, why are they not drafting a wide receiver? Why are they not drafting a running back? They took an offensive lineman. They get a player who I think is the best available prospect for a third round pick, and then they can decide if they want to re-sign him or not.
Listen.
Peter Schrager's doing a little boboing there.
He is doing some. He's carrying someone's water.
I would imagine it's his agent, David Mulligetta.
Oh, is he a Mulligetta guy?
He's a Mulligetta guy, yeah. Listen, I get why they do it, but it's so funny. And to me, it's so transparent. Whatever. Peter Schrager, now a member of ESPN. Not a fan.
I mean, he's just, yeah. He's, instead of being on Good Morning Football, he's just going to be on Get Up now. Okay, whatever, dude.
Puff piece guy. That's how I look at him. He does talk to people. They sure liked him, but not a fan. Anyway.
There's this belief out there that he's cantankerous.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say cantankerous.
I'd say even more than that.
Yeah. You called him an actual crazy person on the football
team. Someone with anger management issues at the very least. By the way, did the Texans miss out? Third and a fifth? George Pickens.
Would you rather have Jalen Noel? Or in a fifth-round pick? Or
I'd rather have Pickens than both these guys. I just wonder if there would be any hope to get him in line. Because obviously Casario's coming from the Patriots. F that. They didn't do that, ever. You know, Gronkowski was a reach for them.
Yeah.
Randy Moss, it did work for a year, but, I mean, he was only there for, like, 2.2 seasons.
Yeah. Chad Johnson didn't work.
Johnson never picked up the playbook. That was the big issue for him. I think it actually would have worked out because he loved Bill Belichick. But also, from a D'Amico Ryans perspective, I mean, it doesn't seem like he puts up with much. Deontay Johnson, that was a fun, 5 hours? Felt like, you know?
Felt way longer.
Right. I don't think that D'Amico would want to deal with it. I actually think that this Texas locker room could potentially handle it.
I don't know. I mean, could handle it, sure. But
should.
And also, there is like a very fine line of like, you can have so many of these guys, but if you have one too many, then it all falls apart. Like, it's just a Jenga tower, basically. Except the opposite, because you're adding pieces, not taking them out. Whatever. It's an opposite of a classic opposite of a Jenga tower, where, you know, you can deal with a CJ Gardner-Johnson. You can deal with some other guy. But once you hit that, like, tipping point of like, actually, we have too many cantankerous guys to use Peter Schrager's word.
More around the National Football League. Shador Sanders, Cleveland Browns quarterback, fifth round pick, fell so far, will wear number 12 in honor of Tom Brady, who some, Skip Bayless, are of the belief was the reason that Shador Sanders is not a Las Vegas Raider. Tom Brady was doing an interview with a Paul brother and some other dude. I don't know. Don't care. Jealous of both of them and their success. Especially that they got to interview my Lord and Savior. But they asked him about the Raiders and their interest in Shador Sanders. Because Tom Brady, of course, yes, a Fox broadcaster, but also a minority owner of the Raiders.
Elephant in the room, Shador Sanders. What happened, Tom? Why did he go so late in the draft?
It's a good question. I wasn't a part of any evaluation process or
Skip Bayless says otherwise.
No. Well, everyone's got every That's the problem with media is everyone can just say whatever the fuck they want. I actually texted Shador because I know him very well. And I said, dude, like, whatever happens, wherever you go, like, that's your first day. Day two matters more than the draft. I was 199.
Yeah.
So who could speak on it better than me? Like, what that really means. Yeah. Use it as motivation. You're going to get your chances. Go take advantage of it.
Good advice from the greatest athlete who's ever lived. Embrace debate. There's no debate.
Secretary. Nah, we'll have to see how the Brady kids do, but
I mean,
pretty high bar with the Secretariat.
Secretariat, his stuff was getting passed around. How many of those kids did he actually have on his own?
Whoa.
That's artificial insemination.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So
people
were
just buying.
You had to do it the old fashioned way. Oh, yeah.
People were just buying, you know, vats of his stuff. Unless. Honestly, you know, maybe with technology at the time, maybe Secretariat did have to shiboink all those horses.
I think a few of them he had to do the old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned way.
The classic way.
God, what a job that's going to be, to be a collector of that of the stuff. And on top of that, to, like, encourage them to, you know, shiboink. Are the Jaguars on the right track? They released three players in the last 24 hours that are going to cost them $20.3 million in dead cap money. Gabe Davis, who they signed to a three-year, $39 million deal 14 months ago. He will be back in Buffalo in 5 seconds, I imagine. Davis had just 20 catches and 2 touchdowns in 10 games for the Jags. Good for him paying, you know, cashing in on his playoff touchdown receptions from Josh Allen. They also cut Josh Reynolds and Evan Engram. The Jaguars general manager, James Gladstone, who is younger than me, does give off Jack Easterby vibes. But to the Jags' credit, I think that some of the moves that they have made, outside of trading up for Travis Hunter, which I do think was a lot, do indicate that they're a little bit more serious. I think cutting bait with the guys that you brought in that were clearly overpaid is a step in the right direction. We'll see. The Jaguars shall be back. The Titans are liars. Warren Moon was with Kay Adams before the Kentucky Derby. And with the Titans going away from the Oilers uniform, perhaps forever, from the sound of things, and potentially moving, not potentially, and moving on to uniforms that will now have Titan blue as the primary color, here is Warren Moon talking about potential new Titans uniforms.
You said the line again, but here's the last week you said your Houston Oilers jersey will probably never be worn again. You know what people think then, that there's a redesign coming?
Well, probably, because I never say never about anything. You know, in this world we live in now, you can't say never about anything, but because if I did say never and it did happen, people are going to say, ah.
But Warren, fans think new uniforms are coming. As someone who is very well dressed and plugged into the organization, as one is.
The Tennessee Titans have new uniforms coming, a whole new set. And I've seen glimpses of them, but it's not the Houston Oilers jersey.
I understand. What do these Titans unis look like?
Pretty good.
Are they clean? Are they like futuristic? Give us something.
They fit with the times, but they're also a little futuristic. So they will advance with the times. We'll put it that way.
Death, taxes, Kay drinking too many mint juleps, and Warren Moon breaking news on Titans uniforms. Amy's got to hate me. Miss Strunks, we love you. Sorry, we keep trying, you know, breaking news here.
There we go, Kay. Good job by you. Well, it turns out, per Titans.com, state-run propaganda machine of the Tennessee Titans and former Houston Oilers, Jim Wyatt said, "I was standing right in front of Warren Moon when he first mentioned publicly the possibility of new uniforms while in town for the Cam Ward presser. Then I saw where Warren doubled down on the topic over the weekend when he was at the Kentucky Derby. Wyatt said the team's uniforms won't change for 2025. He said he hasn't seen any new uniforms and no one has told him anything that is official." I'm sure Amy Adams Strunk has shared with Warren Moon that there will be new jerseys at some point soon. There should be. Their uniforms are awful. Ever since they went away from the I thought iconic look that they had when they first changed over from the Oilers look. I thought they were good. I thought those were nice late 90s uniforms with the white helmet and the weird blue on top. They moved away from that. Those were the uniforms that they wore during the Vince Young era as well, in addition to the McNair and Eddie George era. I don't think they should have left them. It's weird that they left them. It's weird that they made navy blue such a predominant color, given that there are so many teams in the NFL that have navy blue as their number one color, including, you know, the Texans, also the Cowboys, the Bears, the Patriots. Long list. It always should have been light blue. I'm sure that they will come up with some new uniforms in the near future that are light blue focused. But it does sound like they're going away from the Oilers uniforms altogether, which is nice to hear. But War Moon and the Titans, liars. There you go. That is the 10-minute drill. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. We're finally seeing something that we have been asking for a week. What is that? You'll find out on the other side. And the official things that you should believe about the Houston Rockets going into this offseason, the Paul Gallant Doctrine. Stick around.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.